to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
What is up, Left Traffic Nation? Welcome to episode 122 of the Left Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the professor, Brandon Crowd. Hope y'all had a great weekend. Is laid back over here. Friday, went up to the pub, watched the Xfinity race, which I forgot to record. So thankfully, I was able to use my pull and get the Xfinity race on with a little pushback from some people with some golf show was on or something. I don't know. Saturday, it was beautiful outside, so took advantage of there not being an afternoon Xfinity race. Did a bunch of stuff outside, got the solar lights out in the backyard, did some cleanup, which was awesome. Sunday, no race. Get this, I took a nap. I don't take naps. It was glorious. Oh, it was a very nice laid-back weekend. So we had some short track racing this past weekend at Richmond. I might be in the minority on this one, but I thought the Xfinity race was a smidge better than the Cup race. I will get into that here in a bit. And as I mentioned last week, some big news for the podcast. The Lap Traffic Podcast is now a member of the Michigan Sports and Entertainment Network. It's a Michigan-based podcast. There's sports podcasts on there talking about Detroit Red Wings, Pistons, baseball, and covering it from a national perspective as well. There's also some entertainment podcasts on there, so make sure you go and check out the Michigan Sports and Entertainment Network, where you can find the Lap Traffic Podcast. I'm very excited. Hopefully, can gain some new followers and listeners from that. So stay tuned for more stuff with that. Big night tonight. Very excited. The trucks might be on an off month, but I am doing my best to keep the truck series alive. Last week, Grant Enfinger. This week, Tyler Ankrum will be on. Very excited about that. I will recap the Xfinity and Cup races from Richmond, the usual social media shout-outs. Aaron will be on to, there's no weather to talk about this week, but he'll talk about the mishaps that were at Richmond. As well as just some random NASCAR nonsense. And we'll be back next week as well for the weather at Talladega. I got your lucky dog, your lap down picks, fantasy as always to close it out. All right, let's get things rolling. Let's get Mr. Tyler Ankrum dialed up. Lap Traffic Nation joining me on the line, making his first appearance on the Lap Traffic Podcast. He is a driver of the number 17 Toyota with DGR Crosley. Mr. Tyler Ankrum, sir, how's it going tonight?
It's going fantastic. Thank you for having me on. Just got done doing yard work in the yard, so finally just sitting here talking to you, ready to have a good time.
Awesome, man. Appreciate that. Yard work, man, up here in Michigan, the nice days have been few and far between, so I spent all day Saturday out in the yard getting all that stuff ready for the summer and all that good stuff. It felt good to get outside, though. I will tell you that one.
Yeah, it's this freaking cold weather, man. I got sick and tired of it. It's finally like 70, anywhere between 75 and 80 degrees. It's just perfect. Well, I'm waiting for
don't
the humidity,
go rubbing
though.
It in. I'm excited over 60.
Yeah. I'm not ready for this humidity. It's going to hit us in about another few weeks here. So I'm trying to soak in all this perfect weather right now.
Excellent, excellent. All right, man. So you're one of the younger guests on the show. I think Trevor Rizzo, who was on about a couple months ago, was 17. I know you're still in high school, right?
Yeah, I graduate in January. I'm a senior here at Lake Norman High School in Mooresville.
Okay, so talk a little bit about balancing high school life and NASCAR life. I mean, you got to be more popular than the quarterback, right? I mean, you drive in the NASCAR Truck Series. Like, you got to have some cred walking the hallways, right?
Well, it's funny you mentioned that because, you know, there really is no balance. It's either all school or all racing. There's really no in between for me. You know, when I'm on race weekends, I hate having to worry about school. So I really just focus on the racing. But I do sometimes get looks, or I'll be walking down the hall and I'll just have, you know, somebody walk past me and be like, hey, man, you know, that's Tyler Ingram. He's in the Truck Series or something, which I think is really cool.
That's and, awesome.
Yeah, because I'm not really used to that kind of attention.
Sure.
Not like I don't want to say superstar, but it kind of gives you that kind of that scent, that taste of it, because it almost makes you feel like that you are somebody and that you're doing something right here.
Yeah.
And it's something I never felt before. You know, when I was racing late models, I was racing K&N cars. It wasn't like, oh, that's Tyler Ingram. You know, the people who follow racing in school, you know, knew who I was, and I was friends with those people. But
sure.
Now, you know, people, I don't even, you know what their names are. You know, I hear them say that, or I'm almost kind of known. You know, I drive a 1970 El Camino.
Awesome.
So, it's kind of a car that stands out in town.
Yeah.
So, and it's pretty much what everyone knows me by. It's almost my trademark, you know, outside of my TA logo. This, the El Camino is kind of my trademark. So, and I'll walk into a restaurant and everybody's like, or somebody will be like, hey man, you that kid in the truck series that drives the El Camino? I'm like, yeah, it's parked right out there. So, you know, there's, you know, Mooresville, it's growing so much, but at the same time, it's still pretty small. And, you know, just, you know, uncommon occurrences like that to me, you know, mean a lot.
That's a cool story. I love that. That's, you know, it puts it into perspective. Like, you know, you hear guys talk about, you know, signing autographs in the garage, but I mean, you probably signed a few in the cafeteria. Like that's such a cool story to, you know, from your age and perspective, you know, like, you're humbled about it too, which is, I think, really awesome. And like you said, you know, you got to be doing something right. And it definitely seems like, you know, the head's in the right spot, which that's really cool. And congratulations on all of that.
Well, thanks, man. I try to keep my head in the right spot. It's hard sometimes, but.
<I bet. laughs> So talk a little bit about your racing background. You know, last year you competed, won the K&N East Championship with 4 wins. You mentioned some late models. You know, take us through the early part of your career and what got you to the Truck Series.
Well, if we want to go way back to the beginning, very, very beginning, I want to say I was 6 years old. I was sitting in my grandma. It was kind of like a family function. I was just sitting in my grandma's lap, and I was flipping through the old family photos. And my dad raced quarter midgets as a kid, and I was just flipping through, and I found a picture of a quarter midget. You know, one of those old wooden ones from just like the 70s and 80s.
Sure.
And I basically just said I want one, and everyone was just kind of like, oh, ha ha ha, yeah, sure, okay, we'll get you one. Well, 2 years later of me still asking and me relentlessly saying, I want a quarter midget. After 2 years of asking, on my 8th Christmas, I got my first quarter midget. I got it from Tad Pfizer over there in Colorado. And me and my dad set it up. And my very first race was on my 9th birthday.
Very cool.
And then we raced quarter midgets for about 3 or 4 years. And I hopped in a midget, was about to go sprint car racing. And I'd become really good friends with Todd, racing quarter midgets with him.
Sure.
And they're really good friends with the Gilliland family. And the Gillands are at my house when David was still cup racing. And he was just starting his late model team. And it was a New Year's party. And David asked me what I wanted to do for the rest of my life, you know, if I wanted to be like my dad, you know, run a meat processing company, or if I wanted to go racing. And I was like, man, you know, with all due respect, like kind of like Ricky Bobby, I go, are you stupid? Like, I want to do what you do. Like, come on, man. Right? Like, what kind of question is that? You know, I want to do what you do. Like, I want to have a big giant house on the lake and a hot wife and drive really fast race cars.
I love it.
You know, that's what I wanted to do. And, you know, it's a lot harder going the open wheel route doing that, because, you know, a lot of times you go the open wheel route, you just go to IndyCar or something else, or you just stay in dirt. So David offered me to drive one of his late models, and, you know, David helped me get a setup with a crew chief and crew in the car. And I ran for David for about a year in the late model. And then we went on our own separate ways, on good terms. You know, sure. nothing bad happened, but we went our own separate ways. We started our own late model team, got a few guys, and then ran late models for 2 years, and then started a super late model team. And we did about super late models and for about 2 years with Blake Bainbridge and Clay Rogers, and then, you know, after all this time had come, my last year of super late models, we had a really good year. I think we finished outside the top 5 in every race I raced in about 2 or 3 times. And I did close to, you know, 30 something races.
Nice.
And David called my dad because he heard through the grapevine that we were shopping for K&N Ride. And everything was pretty much full over there at MDM. So, you know, we were almost, you know, going to, you know, jump ship and just consider Super Late Model Race and wait another year. And David just started the K&N team that year. And he called my dad and said, hey, why don't you come to our new shop? You know, show you around and we'll talk. And it wasn't but, you know, 3 days later, we signed a half a year with David in the K&N car. Due to funding, we weren't sure if we were going to be able to do a full K&N year on funding. And then, you know, a win later and four races into the year, Dave convinced my dad to, you know, do a full year of K&N. And then, lo and behold, three wins in a row. I think an average finish like 4.2 something. It was a fantastic year, bottom line. And the championship later, Dave offered us to, you know, drive the truck. And obviously, I wasn't 18 yet. Well, my first truck race wasn't until Martinsville, and I wasn't 18 old enough to drive at Vegas, even though I turned 18 2 days after Vegas.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which sucks. But because Vegas is one of my favorite – is probably my favorite mile and a half. And, you know, from there on out, it's history.
So it's funny you mention that, because I was going to ask you about that, because when I was, you know, trying to pull up some notes and stuff like that, it shows that you had two races in the truck series last year when you were 17. But then I saw you had to miss the first three races because of the age restriction. And so I couldn't figure out if that was a typo or were you able to run last year or did you or no?
Yeah, we ran Martinsville in Phoenix last year.
OK, so, yeah, that was a off-season age thing that they changed.
Yes, they we had planned. David had last year. David had some openings in the DGR truck. So, and actually, Seth Smith, my K&N crew chief my trucks last year. I want to say we finished like 16th or 17th in Martinsville, and then at Phoenix we finished sixth. So we were super excited about the Phoenix finish.
Sure.
Especially my first time on a mile racetrack in a truck, or a mile and a quarter, I should say. And, you know, time came again to, okay, what are we going to do? Another full year in K&N, or we're going to go, you know, go truck racing. And we knew we couldn't afford a full year in the truck, but we announced that we were going to go full time in the truck. And we've been continuously looking for sponsorship. And, you know, we're working really hard. We're hustling a lot. You know, I think we got everybody in our family working on helping us find a sponsor. And we partnered with Truex Management Group, and I think they've contacted close to 200 companies so far. And they're helping me start an apparel line. They're helping me with my social media. There's so many things they're helping me with as well to help me boost my career. And they believe in me a lot.
That's awesome.
And, you know, after our, you know, sixth place finish on my first mile and a half at Texas, people were super excited. And, you know, we got a lot of TV time and we got a lot of attention, which
yeah,
you ran
top 10 all day. You were in the top 10 in both stages. I mean, you guys put together a solid.
Yeah, it was a very solid day. And we were as high as third. You know, we pitted, you know, just strategy. We pitted and took gas only on the final pit stop. And
sure.
You know, new tires takes over versus old, but I just, you know, I was, you know, super excited for my very first finish like that. I couldn't believe it. You know, my first time on mile and a half, and I'm feeling all the air and the speed and how aggressive or how assertive everyone is on the racetrack. It's it was just the most. It was almost bizarre. You know, never feeling something like that, feeling it for the first time. It's truly something you can never. You can never, you know, experience again.
Sure.
Because, you know, in the next mile and a half you go on, you know, you almost kind of know what you expect. So Texas was a ton of fun. And I think, you know, here at DGR, we got a little bit of work to do. You know, with me being my first year, I think we can win. I think we can make the playoffs or, you know what, just bottom line and win. I think we can win this year. There's, you know, obviously still a young team. You know, I'm DGR's first full-time truck guy, so it'll be really important for us to just build that notebook.
Absolutely.
Especially for next year. You know, it's really hard to, you know, build a solid, consistent notebook when you have a different driver every single week. So I got a really good group of guys with a lot of experience. My crew chief, Bono Mannion, Kevin Mannion, you know, he's done it all. He's won at the cup level.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask you about him. You know, what was it like, you know, getting such a seasoned crew chief as Kevin? And you know, how was your initial dynamic together? And how has it been working with him? So, you know, he knows what you mean by, you know, I'm loose. And, well, what's loose? You know, how has that been getting adjusted with all that?
Actually, Bono's a really easy guy. You know, Bono's just old school. Like, I compare Bono to my dad because my dad's a really quiet guy. My dad's very smart, really good with numbers, and he means all business. And Bono's the same way. You know, he knows how to have a good time. He knows how to joke around. And but Bono is a very smart when it comes to these race cars. And you know, even though I don't really know, especially at Texas, you know, I really didn't understand 100% what I was getting into, what I should be feeling. And, you know, I described to him what the truck is doing, you know, what would be going on the right front or what would be happening in the left front or what would be happening in the right rear tire or the left rear tire or what I just felt in general, the platform of the truck. And he'd sit there and was like, okay, well, if you're feeling this, I think this is what is happening. And I think this, we should change this. And I'm going, okay, I know what that does. Okay, that makes sense. Let's do that. You know, for example, you know, one of my favorite changes to do in the Super Late model, if the car wasn't turning enough, was to, you know, add more bar. We have these, you know, bars in the front of the car that rotate with the travel of the tires. So Bono's like, okay, I think this is what you're feeling. Let's do that. I'm like, okay, that makes sense. We do that, the truck got barred better. The truck turned more. So having a guy with all that knowledge and for me to learn, I can get in the truck next time. When the next time I feel that, I'd be like, hey, I think we need more bar in this truck.
Sure.
Or it's just certain things like that. And, you know, learning with all these pigtails and the pull down rigs and all the different skews and, you know, split angles, you know, it's all so much. And I'm learning a lot in a short period of time. But I always like to listen to Kyle Busch in that truck because, especially if, you know, anybody who's listening, you know, when there's truck practice, scan Kyle because Kyle can come in the pits and be like, hey man, truck's doing this and you, and he'll say, you need to change this and this and this. And it's
he
like,
already knows.
Okay. He already knows. And it proves it because he's won how many races this year already?
Absolutely.
Not just right. In the cup, not even just in the cup level, just Xfinity and the trucks alone. It's like what? 10.
Yeah.
You know,
yep.
It's ridiculous. You know, save some for the rest of us is what I say, but you know, just a guy who has that much knowledge and a guy who is clearly smart, like Kyle, even though, you know, he can be emotional sometimes, doesn't mean he's not smart.
Yeah.
You know, it just goes to show you how much talent he has. Absolutely. And that's what you have to do. You know, you can have all this talent but have none of the knowledge, and the talent will only get you a certain distance.
Absolutely.
So you got to close that distance, especially when you have, you know, pretty much in the fields already had about a year or two of experience more. Like, I understand Harrison and Sheldon are still rookies. But theoretically, they've still been in the truck series for about 3 years. They've only been doing a handful of races here and there in a single truck season. So they still have more experience, even though they are still rookies. Not that that is an excuse or anything.
Sure, sure.
But there's just, you know, with me, you know, having such little experience and having all these veterans in the field, you just got to, you know, ramp up your game that much more and just be really intense. And that's just, I think the main thing is just intense. You know, if you're just kind of the guy that's, you know, almost like a lazy driver, is like, okay, I'm going to ride here. I'm going to wait for a caution. You can't do that. Yeah, you got to attack. You constantly got to attack. You can never get comfortable. And you know, that's probably a good way to put it is, you know, uncomfortable as fast. Like what Harry Hogg says in Daytona, you know, loose as fast and on the edge, out of control. You know, it almost holds true. And it's a very Hollywood thing to say,
sure,
but it almost holds true.
Yeah,
no. You know, there is such thing as being too loose, but you have to be out of control in those trucks because that's the only way you can go forward. And especially on restarts, I couldn't believe how hectic restarts were. You know, it's like, all right, 3 wide outside, 2 wide inside. Okay, what's going on?
Inside, clear, go.
Yeah, it's just like, okay, hold the wheel straight. Just hold the wheel straight. Close your eyes, make sure you get to the next corner. But I'm having a blast so far.
That's awesome. All right, so you guys are headed to Dover here in a couple weeks. You did run K&N there. This should be a very interesting trip for you, first time in the trucks at the Monster Mile.
Yeah, we were really good there last year in the K&N car. I think we were running third when we came in a pit stop, and the guys accidentally put the left rear on the right rear and the right rear on the left rear. So the first turn on the restart didn't end so well.
Fair enough.
So I did save it, but we came back down, and I guess in the K&N, it's a rule you could only change one tire at a time when it's under green. So we made it back on the racetrack. We're still up to speed, and then all of a sudden we had a penalty and we're 3-4 laps down. So pretty much ended our day. And they are also really fast there with David Gillen in the truck last year. They finished fourth, and they had probably the fastest long run truck there. So they have a really good notebook from last year.
Excellent.
And with Dover, like as you said, with it being a place I've already been to, that'll definitely help because, you know, comfortability, there's just the sights and the sounds of just having the confidence you've already been there and, you know, actually knowing somewhat, you know, it's just that much more time you can have working on the truck and not the driver.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Tyler, tell everyone where they can follow you at on social media and give a shout out to your sponsors.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, follow me on Twitter at Tyler Ingram, Instagram at Tyler Ingram 58, Facebook, Tyler Ingram. And then just got to thank DJ Crosley. You know, they're working really hard over there. Toyota, they've been supporting us a lot lately. Toyota, Modern Meat Company, Maze Hawaii, Martin Truex Management. You know, all those people have been helping tremendously. And also my friends and family wouldn't be there without them. So we're going to go out here in a few weeks and show what we're made of.
Awesome. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, big thanks, Tyler Ankrum, driver number 17 with DGR Crosley. Thanks so much for coming on the show tonight, man. It was a blast. Good luck this next couple weeks over here at Dover, and we'll talk to you soon, man.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it a lot.
Absolutely.
Have me on another time.
All right, sounds good, man. We'll see you.
Thank you, man.
Yep,
bye.
Oh, very cool to talk to Tyler there. Man, what a laid-back, down-to-earth young man, gentleman, kid, whatever you want to call him. So cool talking to him. Definitely can sense the excitement in his voice and excitement about the truck series and his career. It's awesome. I love it. That's why I love talking to truck guys. I love that they love calling into the show. And anytime they say, have me on again, well, obviously, can make that happen anytime. So that's awesome. So very cool. Hope you guys enjoyed that one. Again, man, trucks, nothing. May 3rd at Dover. We still got 2 more weeks to go before trucks are back on the track at the Monster Mile. Stuart Friesen is in first, Grant Enfinger in second, Ben Rhodes in third, Sauter fourth, Moffitt fifth, Kraft in sixth, Austin Hill seventh, and Todd Gilliland is eighth as where they sit right now. All right, let's get over to the Xfinity Series, the second Dash for Cash, which saw another Dash for Cash driver win in Cole Custer this week. Justin Allgaier picked up the Stage 1 win. Cole Custer, Stage 2, and obviously race winner, Cole Custer. Bell, Reddick, Custer, Briscoe, all racing for it this week. Bell, because I had him in my fantasy, you know, I made the educated decision. He swept both races last year that this should be a great minimum top 5 pick, no-brainer, but nope, finished 16th. So just don't pick who I pick for fantasy, and you will be fine. Let's see, other Dash for Cash guys. Riddick finished 4th. Briscoe 8th, our winner of the race at $100,000 was none other than Lap Traffic alum Cole Custer. This one, early on, Allgaier and Bell battled each other during Stage 1. Michael Annette tried a little strategy to stay out during an early caution in Stage 1 when the 86 of Mason Diaz brought out the yellow on Lap 66. But, you know, unfortunately, that strategy did not pay off. No stage points in either stages, but he did finish 13th, which is pretty decent. But obviously, if you're going to be that one guy that stays out on a caution, you know, it's boom or bust. You got to get that playoff point. Otherwise, that is just it's a fail at that point. Stage 1 win, like I said, goes to Allgaier. Couple yellows during Stage 2. Lap 128, flew it on the track. Lap 143, the 9 of Noah Gregson and the 20 of Christopher Bell. A little contact with each other there on the track. Bell goes around, as I mentioned, finished 16th. Gregson, not as great of a rebound, finished 22nd, mainly because he got turned around in stage 3 with a little help from the 21 of Kaz Grala. Custer goes on to win stage 2, and Cole had a pretty easy go of it in stage 3 as he was out front for most of it, leading a total of 122 of the 250 laps, picking up his second win on the season. And I am sure Mr. Cole Custer will be back on the show sooner rather than later, which is always a good time. Some notables from the race, from my perspective, John Hunter Nemechek picks up his third top 10 in a row. John Hunter Nemechek, all 8 races so far, only has 2 finishes outside the top 10, 20th at Atlanta, 28th at Fontana. So nice start to the year for him. Chase Briscoe, Justin Haley, both with a top 10. And how about Elliott Sadler? His first time in the car since his retirement at the end of last year at Homestead. Didn't miss a beat. Picked up a 12th place finish there. That's awesome. Dash for Cash next week at Talladega. I can talk. The top 4 from Richmond. Custer will be going for 2 in a row along with Cindric, Allgaier, and Riddick. Over to the standings for the Xfinity race. Tyler Riddick, Christopher Bell, Cole Custer, Austin Cindric, Justin Allgaier, John Hunter Nemechek, Michael Annette, Chase Briscoe, Ryan Sieg, Noah Gregson, Justin Haley, Brandon Jones. And I love the fact that 3 rookies are above the cut line right now. I think that's awesome. And they will be back this Saturday they will not be back. No one's racing this week. It's off week. Duh. Saturday, April 27th, 1 p.m. at Talladega. There you go. I got it right. I can read. All right, let's move over to the Cup Series. Mr. Kyle Busch picks up another stage win. Joey Logano picks up the stage 2 win. And Martin Truex Jr. snaps the 80-race short track winless streak and picks up the W. Before I talk about the Cup race, I got to go on a little tangent here. I got to go off for a minute on qualify and all of that. So another impound race, which meant social media lost its mind about the cars that failed the pre-race post-tech qualifying. Now, I'm not saying people should or should not lose their minds, because this can really be looked at from a triangle, in my perspective. And I'd even go as far as saying it's an iron triangle. You give and you take, going from each angle to the other, a little back and forth across the lines there. So you got people that say it's NASCAR's fault, that the rule book needs to be loosened. That's my one area of the triangle. You got people blaming the team, saying they're trying to get away with too much or cheat. That's the other area of the triangle. Brandon, what's the third area, Professor? Well, for me, the third area of the triangle, the third angle, is social media. And I think that you've got people trying to get a voice heard, which maybe does or doesn't help the situation. And I'm actually in favor of fewer runs through the tech line each weekend. For me, just from a viewer and just being at the track, and it's such a consumption of time. So if we can reduce the amount of time that teams have to waste going through tech, I'm in favor of that. But that said, I don't think you need to loosen the rules. I think if we had more impound races, the problem would correct for itself. If you look at the new post-race inspection process, granted, you got to wait 90 minutes for it to be official, but I think that's helped. So in my opinion, if we increase the impound races, I think we'll have fewer and fewer inspection issues. And like I said, I think the problem might correct itself. I don't think NASCAR needs to go loosening things. Maybe they don't need to go adding things, but you don't need to, stretch that ruler out even more, because you talk about people saying, you got these teams showing up trying to cheat or get away with too much. Well, if you widen open the rule book, then that's all the more width that they can try to wiggle with there. Wow. Did I just go that route? And yeah, I did. All right. Anyways, let's talk about the race. To start the race, it was a pretty clean track. Clean start to the race, which saw comp caution on lap 40, basically breaking up stage 1. Only difference, no points awarded. Sherwin from PETM, were talking about this for a minute during our live tweet. Are comp cautions really necessary with stages? You know, I know the stages have been a whole nother debacle and debate lately for some reason. I like the stage races. I do like that. But I don't think you need comp cautions necessarily with stages. You already know you've got that built-in break for teams to go look at tires and all that kind of stuff. Some of these tracks and the way the stages are built, the fuel, there's no way you could make it. So you have to come down to pit road. I don't know that we need comp cautions with stages. Without stages, you know, you got a clean track from rain, whatever, fine. You want to see how the tires wear and all that kind of good stuff, fine, throw a comp caution. But you got stages. You know one's coming. I could see both sides on the story, but that's just me personally. And like I said, I think the Xfinity race was a little bit more exciting. Cup race, only four leaders. Martin Truex Jr. leading the most at 186. Kyle Busch with 101, followed by Logano, Keselowski, and Harvick, who started on the pole, led early, fell back a little bit, just didn't have that short run speed, ran top five all day. But that was pretty much it. But a drastic improvement over last week, four laps down early. And Kyle Larson, good Lord, troubles continue for that team. He brought out the third caution of the night on lap 129, finished 37th 2 weeks ago at Texas, finished 39th. Only two top 10s for the team all year at Daytona and ISM. That team needs to rebound and rebound quickly. Let's see here. Logano picked up the lead on pit road to start stage three. And Martin Truex Jr. cruised to the win on his first short track win. Some notables from the Cup. Austin Dillon with a sixth-place finish. Ryan Newman with back-to-back top tens. And Paul Menard with a solid top 10. So a couple guys there wouldn't maybe necessarily expected to see in the top 10. And like I said, as I mentioned, Larson finished 37th. Over to the standings, Kyle Busch, Joey Logano, Denny Hamlin, Kevin Harvick, Brad Keselowski, Martin Truex Jr., Kurt Busch, Clint Boyer, Ryan Blaney, Chase Elliott wraps out the top 10. Almirola, Suarez, Johnson, Dillon, Newman, and Menard wrap out the current cut line there. And, man, the talk continues, as it should, for Joe Gibbs and Penske. Maybe it should be for Joe Gibbs. Six wins out of the nine races in Penske with the other three. That is just crazy. They continue those two to keep the streak alive for fewest manufacturer wins this far into a season. Again, off week. So the next race, Sunday, April 28th, 2 p.m. from Talladega, our first restrictor plate race since the 500. Who knows what mayhem we will witness. All right, it is time for a little social media. Everybody, make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, @LapTrafficPC. And on Instagram, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Make sure you listen to the show on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, Acast, wherever you listen to podcasts. Just search Lap Traffic Podcast or NASCAR. You'll see it there. Don't forget about the giveaway. 3,500 followers. I'm giving away that 124 diecast signed by Richard Childress. Less than 150 to go. So go tell your friends to go follow the show on Twitter, @LapTrafficPC. And speaking of new followers on Twitter, Steve @SWHITEB from Delaware Shores, a disabled veteran, sir, thank you for your service, and a Phillies fan. Fluffy Racing @FluffyRacing, the e-NASCAR heat driver for RFR, thanks for the follow, sir. Slade Gravett @SladeGravett, the e-NASCAR driver for the Wood Brothers, thanks, boys. Anita Barkley @Dega_grandmom from Alabama, a NASCAR fan and Bama football fan. Fred Rosado @FredRosado, diehard NASCAR fan from Any Speedway USA. Love it. Clayton Harris @JoeyLoganoFan22 from Kentucky, big Joey Logano fan. And New Jersey NASCAR @_NASCAR_. Thanks for the follow, everyone. Make sure you check it out. And make sure you go check out Toby Christie @Toby_Christie, host of The Final Lap @TheFinalLap. He has been very gracious for putting the show on his website. Very appreciative there. Don't forget to check out the store. There's T-shirts, all that good stuff, and stickers, koozies. If you want one, go to the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Go to the contact page, fill out your name, full address, and I will send one out to you for free. And don't forget, Autism, April Awareness Month. Go check out the Support Autism link on the website. Check out about Freddie the Pizza Man and what he's doing with his 501c3 charity here in Metro Detroit. It helps sponsor Yunker Motorsports, all that good stuff. Can't wait to see that car out on the track very soon with the Freddie the Pizza Man logo and the Lap Traffic logo on that. That's awesome. And as I mentioned, go check out Michigan Sports and Entertainment at Mish Sports ENT. And speaking of great Michigan podcasts, the Red Wings season might be over, but the NHL playoffs are just getting underway. Here is a quick promo of one of the awesome podcasts on Michigan Sports and Entertainment, the Rinkside Podcast, based right here from the home of the Original Six.
Hey, I'm Zach.
And I'm Kevin.
And we're the hosts of the Rinkside Podcast.
We were annoyed by the lack of hockey coverage on local sports radio and decided that we were stupid enough to try and provide some ourselves.
We have what we call the Rinkside Guarantee. We guarantee that the podcast you're currently listening to is better than ours. We are literally just two halves of one whole idiot trying to fumble through covering the Detroit Red Wings, the National Hockey League, and hockey in general.
Check us out on Facebook and Twitter at Rinkside Pod and subscribe to us on all your favorite podcast providers.
Every time you listen to our podcast, it brings us one step closer to our ultimate business goal of purchasing the Arizona Coyotes and then moving them to Detroit. What? Now, back to your regularly scheduled programming, or just another commercial. We aren't the ones who make those choices.
Well, hey guys, make sure you go check out the Rinkside Podcast. It's very cool what they do with Michigan Sports Entertainment. Everyone kind of plays a little promo for other podcasts on their show. So someone's going to hear a recorded little promo about the Lap Traffic on theirs, and that's going to help spread awareness about some podcasts from a fan-based perspective, which I think is awesome. All right, business is done. Let's get Mr. Aaron Studwell on the line. Lap Traffic Nation back again for his non-existent weekly weather report for this week. You can follow him on Twitter at RaceWeather, on the web, raceweather.net. The wonderful Mr. Aaron Studwell, sir, good evening.
Hey, non-existent.
Off week.
Just because I get a week. I get. Thank you. I get an off week. Thank you. Happy East.
Thank you. You too. You're still here.
Thank you. But, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
I'm still walking on the show, and we'll get we'll talk a little weather. We'll talk a little NASCAR, which are always good things.
Absolutely. You know, couldn't skip the opportunity to talk to Mr. Aaron Studwell. So.
Well, thank you. Yes. Well, I appreciate that.
Of course. So, all right. So we don't have any weather to talk about coming up for this week. We push it as it is, talking 5 days early sometimes. So no sense trying to forecast 12 days out for Talladega.
Don't think I haven't been asked yet, though.
I'm sure you have. I'm sure. That said, there were some close calls this past weekend at Richmond, but we were able to get all scheduled distances in. Talk about this weekend at Richmond.
Well, Friday night, we were definitely watching the rain. There was rain approaching the area. We were tracking it in. And then as soon as it got maybe within 10 miles of the track, you could look at some of the what we call derived data and see that there was in the atmosphere, there was actually some drier air over Richmond and then off to the northeast. So as those storms moved in from North Carolina, from the southwest, it was encountering the dry air, drying out, and then really kind of dissipating. So I think we had a couple drops at one point, but nothing. They didn't stop the race. But it was funny. You kept hearing Cole Custer's crew chief, the rain's 10 miles out. And like, okay, that's a cue for me to post. Or the broadcast team's like, oh, yeah, the rain's a little bit out. I'm like, oh, okay, let me post this again. There's dry air. You know, the dry air was dissipating because as you have moist air move in, it's going to start moistening up. And then at some point, the rain will get there. Well, it wound up getting
moist.
Shut up, Evis.
Oh, sorry. Continue.
No, I don't know. I don't know how to go on from there.
That was too easy. That's what she said.
That's what she said, yeah.
Oh, wow, I took this one off the rails, didn't I, there?
Yeah, I know. I'm going to get it back on the rails. Best forecast I had all night, I posted, the rain's going to start when Cole Custer gets to victory lane. And it did.
Nice.
As soon as he was out of the car, it just starts coming down. That and Gatorade. But rain just starts coming down. So, yeah, it held off till the end, and he won the race. And I thought the racing was pretty good. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed actually both nights, actually. And I might have been the only one who enjoyed Saturday.
I enjoyed the Xfinity race a little bit more than the Cup race, if I'm being honest with everybody. So, yeah, no, I'm with you. Yeah. I enjoyed Saturday.
I don't think with Saturday, I don't feel like I'm going to talk about the Saturday weather in a second. I don't feel like I wasted my time because there was enough in-pack racing. And then the last 30 laps, there was a race for the lead, a couple lead changes, say the last 30, last 40. So I didn't feel like – now, it wasn't like the Formula One race where now I'm staying up to 1 in the morning. And watching Lewis Hamilton pull ahead on lap one, get a better start than Bottas did, and then it was done.
It
was just him. Hamilton won. I mean, they had some changes around during pit stops, but you just kind of knew, you know, Hamilton's going to win.
Sure.
Yeah. Then you watch Kvyat torpedo some other people and wonder why he's in a car, but let's get back to NASCAR. If you thought talking Michigan sports was boring for these other people, I can talk racing, but if I want to talk Formula One, you're going to hear snoring.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I mean, I watch Indy. You know, I'll watch when they're running at Texas and a couple of the other tracks that they hit, but I just don't have enough time.
Bed Bath & Beyond, I don't know. I don't know if we'll have enough time.
What I want to catch, and I heard it was really good, and I'll have to watch for it on the IMSA app, is the Long Beach race was supposed to be amazing. And that was, I think there was a 1-hour race at Long Beach for one of the IMSA series, and they said it was just an amazing race. I'm like, okay, you know what? I can dedicate an hour to a race that they say is amazing.
Sure. Yeah, no, That's not too much of a time waster there. That, you know, anybody can spare an hour.
Yes, especially for motorsports.
Absolutely. All right, so we will be heading to Talladega, Dover, Kansas, and Charlotte over the next month. It's been the Gibbs and Penske show. Does that trend continue? Is someone able to take advantage of plate racing? Maybe steal one from these guys? What does race weather think?
That's exactly what I was thinking. Just by the very nature of the plate racing and the pack racing, and kind of like we saw at Daytona too, I think this would be the one chance of the next four races. So we're going Talladega, Dover, Kansas, and Charlotte, especially those two mile-and-a-half cookie-cutter tracks, but mile-and-a-half tracks where we see those two teams dominate. Yeah. I think Talladega is going to be the best chance for somebody other than those two to really kind of step up and steal one.
Yeah, I agree. Monster Mile could be an interesting one. I wouldn't be surprised if Gibbs or Penske win that, but I think the Monster Mile always delivers with a pretty decent race. Kansas could be a crapshoot, and if anything's a predictor for what we can expect at Charlotte, and we just look back at Martin Truex the last few years there. Might not even be worth watching, you know, who knows, but
yeah, that was a race a couple of years ago. You just shut it. It's like, oh, let's turn it on. Oh, let's shut it off.
Yeah.
I agree with you about Dover too. I have a feeling it's going to be a Hendrick car win there, and whether that's Johnson or Elliott, I just don't see Byron and Bowman stepping up yet. But I could see Elliott or Hendrick or Johnson winning there.
Well, Dover was Jimmy Johnson's last win back in 2017. So, yeah, hey, who knows? Anything is possible. I believe it was Dover. Pretty confident it was Dover.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I think that sounds about right now that I say that. Let's see. What else? Weather-wise, you know, obviously joked, you know, it's hard to predict. But, are there any significant trends or shifts? Everything's worked out pretty well from a weather perspective. The first, what are we, third of the way through the regular season?
Yeah. I was surprised. I went back and counted the races, and we just finished our – we're at the quarter pole, actually. We just finished our ninth race for a cup, so out of 36. So we're at the quarter pole, and we have two teams kind of running ahead. And talk about the weather real quick. It's an odd situation, and not one I'm unused to. I guess it's an odd way to phrase that, but people are posting the radar during the day. It's like, why do you think you'll be right?
Because I'm race odd. Weather.
Yes, exactly. It's what an odd way to phrase a question.
Right.
It's like, well, here's why. And here he's like, well, look at you got all these storms down here in the Carolinas, and it was raining a lot around Richmond, and it probably rained a little bit during the day that afternoon on Saturday. But it wound up clearing out because there was a cold front kind of draped across the region, and that just kind of swept through. As for trends, it's kind of hard to, you know, since they're independent events and since they're kind of scattered really across the United States so far this season, where we've been, a third of the season was out west, and you come back and you've had Atlanta and Martinsville and Texas as well. Texas was, I had to go back and look. Texas may have been the coldest race the season.
Oh, that's right. I remember that. Yes, it was very cold there. I mean, Daytona might have been up there, but.
Yeah. So that's why we have to go back and look. I don't see there's any particular trends. And, is it something that you're going to say, oh, because we've had more or fewer rainouts or fewer rain delays that we're going to have more later in the season? I don't know about that. The fact we're going to Pocono yet might say yes to that.
Right, twice. Michigan too. Michigan's been close calls a couple times.
Oh my, yeah. Last year was you had the storms coming in from the west and southwest, and watching those, and then they kind of dissipated and actually almost turned around.
Yeah, no, I remember the June race there. Yeah, that was wet. Alrighty, Mr. Aaron Studwell, you will be back next week for some weather for Talladega. Enjoy your off week, sir. And everyone, make sure you follow Aaron on Twitter @RaceWeather and on the web, raceweather.net. Sir, pleasure as always.
Sounds good. Sounds good. It's a good time. And happy Easter to you and yours.
Thank you very much. Same to you guys. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you. You will.
All right. See you.
Bye.
Sometimes when there's no weather to talk about for the upcoming week, Aaron and I get a little derailed, as you can see. And we didn't have any Michigan sports to stay dialed in or basketball. So who knows? That's what you might get until football season starts and we're talking Michigan football. All right, you guys know what that sound means. It is time to see who you guys, the listeners, voted for the Lucky Dog and Lapdown picks of the weekend. You guys know the drill. After the race, you can tweet your Lucky Dog and Lapdown picks. I will read and play them back if you decide to call the Wave Around hotline at 248-965-9538. I am going to get right in with my Lucky Dog of the race weekend, Jimmy Johnson. Runs a short track Saturday night and then goes, runs, and just dominates the Boston Marathon. That's just awesome. Congrats to Jimmy Johnson. That's just fantastic. My lucky dog of the race weekend is the unlucky streak for the 42 team and Mr. Kyle Larson. All right, let's get to your guys' picks. Rowdy at the Rowdy Dragons, lucky dog, Martin Truex Jr. He had a few monkeys to get off his back. He got a short track win, a win for Gibbs, and he's putting a sticker on the car. Love it. Lap down for Rowdy. The 42 team has got some work to do. This package doesn't suit Kyle's racing. David at D Flint 14's lucky dog, Newman, second straight top 10 for the 6 team. Lap down, Quinn Hoff from the 77 team was the slowest car all night, yet was the only lapped car that didn't give the leaders the bottom. I have a hard time believing he's met minimum speed. There have been numerous times, whether on TV or at the track, and you're like, how in the world are these guys, some of these guys at the back, maintaining minimum speed? But, yeah, I feel you there. Jesse at Iowa NASCAR fans, lucky dog, Cole Custer, fighting the weather and the competition to win the Xfinity race. Lap down, cars that failed inspection just couldn't get back to the front. Eddie at EG3_FastEddie's lucky dog, Martin Truex Jr., incredible drive to finally earn that short track victory, holding off not one, but three other drivers. Lap down, Kyle Larson, Ty needs to turn or he could be in for a long summer, currently out of the playoff picture.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs.
Come on, Eddie, can't talk about playoffs. And Dean at Deanator's lucky dog, Saturday night's short track race and always great to watch. Lap down, Chevy Camaro, high hopes for the manufacturer, but they are falling to a low reality. All right, those are your tweeted picks. Let's get to your picks on the Wave Around Hotline.
Hey, Brandon, it's Kathleen at KHI Fan. We saw two good races again this weekend, is my opinion. The Cup race was pretty good. I liked the Xfinity race a little bit better. It had some more action in it. And it was made better by the fact that there was a threat of rain, and that always makes people seem to want to get up and go. So all in all, a good race weekend. It's weird that Truex hasn't had a short track win before, that was his first one. I guess I never really thought about that with all the wins that he's had. But anyways, he's got that box checked off now. My lucky dog has to go to the marathon man, Jimmy Johnson. How cool is that? That he's just the epitome of fitness, it seems. We all knew that, but it's actually pretty cool that he was able to run that race. It looks like he finished, I think he wanted to finish in 3 hours, and he was just a little bit over that. So to even be that close to your goal is pretty awesome. And since I'm sure he's listening, I want to make sure that he puts that 26.2 decal on the back of that 48 car for the rest of the year. He certainly deserves that. My lap down has to go probably to Stuart Haas Racing. Seems that we've got fast cars, but we're just missing the mark, and we need to get back in the mix. Can't be all Gibbs and Penske for the rest of the year. I guess that's all I got for now. Talk to you later. Bye.
Hey, Kathleen, thank you for calling. You and I, same page here with the Xfinity race. I definitely enjoyed that. But I can promise you, Jimmy Johnson is unfortunately probably not dialed in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast, unfortunately. All right, I got one more here for you guys on the hotline, and you know who it is.
What's up, Brandon? For about the third time in the past 4 weeks, I was not able to watch the race. Saturday night races do not really work with me because I would rather go out than watch the race, and unfortunately, the bar I went to did not have the race on. So that's besides the point, so I'm just going to make, you know, like I did last week, a couple observations. I was able to watch about a 6 or 7 minute clip on YouTube of that great battle for the lead at the end. That was pretty awesome, it looked like. You know, Logano and Truex kind of part two. And, you know, you think back to Martinsville, obviously, but these are, if we had Logano a chance to go to the championship round, he would have moved Truex again, I'm sure. And I'm sure they were both thinking about Martinsville as that battle was happening. So I think the difference between what was on the line, a regular season race win, compared to a chance to go to Homestead for the Final Four was completely different, which is why you didn't see them move each other. Another observation is I'm curious to know who the real Kyle Larson is. Does Ganassi's equipment suck that much, or is he just the most overrated driver in the series? You can make either argument, but I'd like to see the real Kyle Larson, not what we're seeing this year. Last year was also very inconsistent, really wasn't leading laps. The aero package, as usual, that BS spoiler. We run really fast at Richmond. It's a short track, in quotes. So you're going fast, and aero's going to matter. And none of those guys who went to the back really ran well. I think one finished in the top 11. That was Denny Hamlin, who team screwed me in fantasy for making him start at the back. So thanks to the 11 team, you might clap down. Truex has to be the lucky dog. First one on a short track, first one with JGR. That was cool. The Yankees actually suck. There, I'm also a lap down, and lucky dog is me because my softball team is now unsuspended. You have a good day, bud.
Hey, brother. Thanks for calling in, as always. And interesting point, two of them, actually, that you made with Logano and Martin Truex Jr. there. Like you said, I think you nailed it. You know, regular season early in the year versus spot to go race for a championship. Two different outcomes, I think, for those situations, which is what we saw there for sure. And like you say, Kyle Larson, you know, a lot of people's lap down this week, Kyle Larson, mine as well. And you said, you know, what's up with Ganassi? He's been in that same ride. And Kurt Busch has come into that ride in the number one that he's gotten some great finishes and performances out of that number one that we didn't see in the number one last year. So yeah, I'm very confused by what's going on at Ganassi Racing right now, as I'm sure they are as well. All right, that is going to do it for the Lucky Dog segment this week. Make sure you continue to tweet your picks or call the Wave Around Hotline, and I'll get you tagged in some stuff, and yeah, all that good stuff. All right. Let's move on over to fantasy. Just a reminder, get your picks in by 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Friday. Keep the Twitter interaction up. Segment one is almost over. 5 races to go. Yeah, so if you have fallen outside of the top 10, segment two is right around the corner, and everything will get reset there. 5 players picked Cole Custer. 3 players took Martin Truex Jr., so nice job there. Week high was 115 points by Greg Whited with his picks of Martin Truex Jr. and Cole Custer. Perfect pick on the week. Nice job there. Second place was 112 by Luke Kimmett with his picks of Logano and Custer. And my picks of Bell and Blaney got me a whopping 42 points. Yeah, like I said, just don't take my picks and everything will be fine. Robert Kaplinger, after falling out of the top spot, got it back last week, has fallen back to third and jumping 5 spots up to first is my uncle, Mr. Matt Crowd, with 907 points. Second place is Greg Whited with 899. In third with 893 is Robert Kaplinger. The MOATF podcast is in fourth with 892. Jess Rose in fifth with 890. Brad Carnes in sixth with 886. John Entwistle in seventh with 884. Ted Anderson in 8th with 879, Mick Rose in 9th with 858, and Michael Elliott wraps out the top 10 with 843 points. Let's see. I won't do picks this week. No point since we're going into the off week. So next week we'll do the picks and get my uncle on the line for the first time there. So that'll be a good time there. 53 people have been playing consistently, which is awesome. So everyone, make sure you keep that up. Can't wait for segment two to start. And just as I've tried to get the hashtag started in the emails, letting everyone know about the standings, it's just hashtag beat MOATF, because I sure as hell can't do anything in the league. So as long as we can keep MOATF from calling in to make their picks on the show, everything will be gravy. So stay tuned next week for the picks. All right. That is going to do it for episode 122 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. Subscribe, download, review the show on iTunes, Podbean, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Go check out Freddie the Pizza Man's Autism Charity link on the website. Put Lap Traffic in the message. Don't forget about the giveaway at 3,500 followers on Twitter. Go follow at LapTrafficPC. Big thanks to Tyler Ankrum and Aaron Studwell for calling in tonight. Next week, the off week, but I have a big show in the works just waiting on final confirmation. So stay tuned to Twitter later this week for that announcement. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. See ya!